This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now we head to catch up with Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout. Again, follow his work on Bleacher Report. Matt, what's the latest on Patrick Peterson?
You know, I do think there was maybe a point in time where he could have been available. I know teams were making calls about him during the trade deadline in season, but I don't think anything's going to get done tonight. If he were traded throughout this draft, it would actually be a pretty big surprise to me. I think they want to try to make that work. They want to try to keep him there. They know that not only do they like need to get this draft right, but they need to win some ball games. He's the best defender. I don't think that he's going to be on the move, especially now that Kansas City has traded for Frank Clark. I think that might have been one team that had the ammo and the willingness to actually trade for Patrick Peterson. I don't think he's going to be on the move today, though.
All right, so Matt, two-part question. Why is it so back and forth with Patrick Peterson? Because I feel like over the last 6 to 8 months, it's like Arizona might trade him. Well, they're not going to trade him. Well, they could trade him. It's been so back and forth. Why? And let's go through the hypothetical. What would it take for a team to trade for Patrick Peterson in your mind?
You know, I think the reason it's been so back and forth is because you do have kind of an older guy who has a pretty big contract that will be up soon. It'll be up after the 2020 season. So some of it is just common sense and dot connecting of like, okay, you have a team that's not very good and you have a player that will be on an expiring contract that they're probably not going to give him what he wants long-term because they're going to have to move on and pay guys like Chandler Jones. And that seems like a long-term future. So I think a lot of the reason that people hypothesize that Pat could be traded is because of that, just because of where he's at with his contract. What would it take? That's a great question. I think you're going to have to start that conversation with maybe a late two or early three. The contract makes it difficult. Like, he's one of the best corners in football still. You would think that would command a first-round pick, but because of his contract situation, basically anybody that signs him is going to have to immediately give him a new deal. And as we've seen, like with Frank Clark, as we saw with Marcus Peters, guys like that, your trade value can get dropped quite a bit just by the nature of your contract.
As close as they were to the Super Bowl a year ago, are you surprised that the Chiefs are one of, if not the most active team this entire offseason?
Not at all. That's Brett Veach through and through, is to be active, to be aggressive, not to get complacent. And I really love the, you know, it's fun in January to be like, this is what they should do. And then you see things happen in February and you're like, oh my God, what is he doing?
Yeah.
But to be sitting here April 25th and see that you basically traded Dee Ford for Frank Clark plus the 29th pick in the draft. So 29th pick, you're not getting someone like Frank Clark. There's no way in hell that you could even, like, you're getting the luckiest of lucky if you think you're going to get a top five edge rusher at 29 overall. So I love this about Veach, that he is aggressive. With those 2 second-round picks, I wouldn't be shocked to see him continue to be aggressive. You know, they have enough draft capital to have some flexibility. Also, you know, with those picks, they're not locked in. They can move back from those and try to gain – excuse me, extra picks, whether it's in round three, on day three, or starting to look to 2020, which looks like a pretty good draft class.
And right now we're talking to Matt Miller. Follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. He does great work with Bleacher Report. You lead me into my next question about Frank Clark. What do you make of the compensation? You're someone that studies draft picks and understands the value of them. What do you make of what they gave up for Frank Clark? Because it was very Khalil Mack-ish.
Yeah, I got no problem with it, Carrington. I really don't. I like I said, he's 25 years old, and I think he's one of the five best edge rushers in football. I think he's better than Tank Lawrence. So, yeah, you're going to have to give him more money. He's younger. He's had less injury issues. So I think the compensation is right in line with where it should be. And like you said, man, I study the draft. I study players, and I do study the salary cap. I study it enough to know that it's fake. You can manipulate that thing as much as you want to. So they do have the ability to get Frank Clark under that deal and still sign Chris Jones and still sign Tyreek Hill and still, when it's time, give Pat Mahomes $40 or $45 million a year. So you can build a team around four big contracts. The key is you have to hit in the draft. You have to be able to find offensive linemen. You got to be able to find linebackers. So the cap's only going to go up. We're going to have a new CBA in a couple of years. It'll be interesting to see what the percent of the revenue goes to the salary cap. But I think that not just Brett Veach and Andy Reid, but I think Clark Hunt, these are three of the smartest guys in the NFL. They know what they're doing to make sure they have the money to keep these core players together.
So you don't think there was a direct correlation between the signing of Frank Clark and Tyreek Hill? Because I kind of figured it was one or the other. The Chiefs would be able to pay Tyreek Hill going forward, or they were going to pay a guy in Frank Clark. You think there's a way to keep everybody around and everybody happy and everybody paid?
I think you can with those four guys. It works out well because you can almost stagger them. Like, you sign Clark now. If you sign Jones either before the season or after the season, you can stagger out the guaranteed money. You can, you know, Clark's deal is basically a three-year deal. So you can move the money around enough. And I think with Tyreek, it's going to be interesting to see how they pay him because, you know, I know yesterday they said no charges are going to be filed criminally. I will be interested to see how that affects his value out on the market because it is a dude who you worried about him in college. You know, the incident there was the reason that he was off my board. The reason that I didn't consider him a draftable player. It will be, I think, some of the Chiefs fans need to watch and see, is he going to get the Antonio Brown type money that he's probably worth, or are the off-field incidents going to keep him from being paid as a top receiver where you might actually be able to get him at kind of a bargain contract?
Matt, let me ask you this. Let's say that Brett Veach today is sitting there and says, I want to move up and I want to select in round one of the NFL draft. I understand that we traded 29, but I want to go grab me a first round value player. How much would it cost to do that, in your opinion?
You know, it depends on where you want to go. If you're looking at, you want to get back in that neighborhood that you were in, it's probably going to cost those twos, or you're going to have to give a two and a future two maybe. It would be expensive. And I think a team that has seven picks in this draft now, it's not worth it because, I posted a seven-round mock draft this morning, and as I was running through it for the Chiefs, it's like, man, I felt like I got two really good players at 61 and 63. And when they came back on the clock at 84, that pick from Seattle, it's like, okay, there's still decent value. After that, you have to use those other four picks just to continue to add depth for this draft, for this roster. So I don't think you want to get into a situation where you're, you know, like you've already borrowed from next year's draft. You know, and so I think you just have to be really, really smart about not completely mortgaging the future. I mean, I know they got some back for Dee Ford. That helps, even out the cost of moving around. But I would be pretty surprised if they tried to get back into one.
So let me ask you this to continue down this hypothetical for one more question. Let's say that they did mortgage a little bit of the future to go back into round one to grab somebody. Who, in your opinion, would it be for?
I think it would be for one of the corners. You've crossed off the needs on the defensive line, getting it, not just with Clark, but adding in Alex Okafor, getting Emmanuel Ogba. That's a really good unit right now. So I think it would have to be one of the corners, which, my argument would be Carrington and guys, you could probably come up to the early round two instead of having to get back on day one, just because of the way that we look at this class in terms of the corners. A lot of them are probably going to fall to round two. We might only see two corners drafted in the first round. So the value for corner could actually be at the top of round two. But I look at that, you know, we're probably going to see Rocky Sin go off the board tonight. We might see Lonnie Johnson, might see Byron Murphy. We could be here Friday night with Greedy Williams, DeAndre Baker, Justin Lane, some really good corners still out there on the board that you might want to be willing to give up a little bit of future capital to go get.
And that was Matt Miller. Follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. Also, he does great work with Bleacher Report. Go ahead and check it out.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.